The Word of God this evening to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 53. We want to read the chapter together, Isaiah chapter 53. Tremendous words that we have here in this chapter of the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 53, and we'll commence our reading at the first verse. The Word of God says, "Who hath believed our report? And to whom of the arm is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he hath done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors." We'll end our reading at the end of the chapter. Let's just unite briefly in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to this great chapter, and we behold the Savior. We see him, and we see him in all of his dying love. We thank thee for the price he paid. We thank thee, O God, for the blood he shed. We thank thee for the demonstration of his love. We thank thee that Calvary reminds us that God loves me. And we pray for the unconverted tonight as they have sat under the reading of the word. O God, may it have been, even as it were, convicting to their soul to be aware that God would do this for them. And yet they still spurn him. They still reject him. They still stubbornly remain in their sin. O God, as this meeting progresses, may there be a softening of that heart. May there be, O God, the breaking of that stubborn will. And may there be a glad yielding to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come and fill this preacher. I know my own limitations. I know my own weaknesses, Lord. But yet we thank thee that in our weakness thou canst make us strong. We thank thee that when we are weak, then he is strong. Oh, may the power of God come upon this preacher, and may I know the infilling of thy spirit. And by the end of this meeting, may there be rejoicing here on earth and rejoicing in heaven's courts over those who have trusted in the Lamb who died for sinners. Answer prayer, for we pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. As Mount Everest is to the Himalayan mountains, so this chapter towers above every other chapter in the Old Testament. From its summit, we are able to gaze through the telescope of time and view clearly the events that occurred to the incarnate Son of God on Calvary's mountain 600 years on from this Old Testament prophecy. Nowhere in all the rest of the Old Testament is it so plainly and so fully prophesied that Christ ought to suffer and to enter into his glory than here in Isaiah chapter 53. Polycarp, an early church father, he called this chapter the golden passional of the Old Testament evangelist. Deleuze said of Isaiah 53, it is the center of this wonderful book of consolation, and it is the most central, the deepest, and the loftiest thing that the Old Testament prophecy, outstripping itself, has ever achieved. And Mr. Urich made this remark of the chapter. He said, here we seem to enter the Holy of Holiest of the Old Testament prophecy, that sacred chamber wherein are pictured and foretold the sufferings of Christ and the glory which should follow. Matthew Henry said, this chapter is so replenished with the unsearchable riches of Christ that it may be called rather the gospel of the evangelist Isaiah rather than the prophecy of the prophet Isaiah. There is one theme that pulsates in every verse of this chapter, and it is the crosswork of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text for this evening's message is found in the familiar words of the verse number 6, where the inspired writer penned these words, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Within the words of our text, we are confronted with God's provision for man's great problem. And it's under that title that we want to consider the words that are before us here in Isaiah 53 in the verse 6. In the first place, I want you to consider from the words of our text, the universal confession. The universal confession. All we like sheep have gone astray. No better animal could the prophet Isaiah have used to depict the sinner than that of a sheep. I say that for two reasons. Firstly, because no other creature in the animal kingdom is prone to wander as a sheep is. And secondly, because no other creature in the animal kingdom is more unable of itself to find its way back to safety as a sheep. A sheep has no built-in mechanism to find its way back home. As it continues to wander, its condition becomes more perilous as it strays from the place of safety and the place of refuge. In those two points, is it then not an apt picture for the sinner to be described as but a sheep who is going astray? We are, because of our sinful nature, prone to wander from God. Inherited and individual sin has created a biasness within each one of us that causes us to wander away from God, to wander away from all that is true, to wander away and go astray from that which is pure and that which is righteous. Present in the human constitution is a will that is prejudiced to sin, causing the sinner to run to sin and to flee from the God of heaven. In the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and the verse 11, we read these words, because the sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. That is the natural condition of sinful man. Man's heart is set on a course to do evil. The natural tendency of the human heart is not towards God, it's not towards goodness, it's not towards righteousness. Rather, the heart of man, sinful man, is inclined to do that which is wrong, that which is wicked, and that which is divinely prohibited by the very God of heaven. This aptness on the part of the sinner to stray is spoken of time and time again within the Scriptures. In Psalm 58, in the verse 3, we read that the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. That's the natural tendency. The inclination of a man, a woman's heart, is naturally to go astray, to become estranged from God and estranged from truth and righteousness. Psalm 119, the verse 176, the psalmist said, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. And so he takes this petition to God in prayer and he says, seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. That would be a good prayer for you to pray tonight. If you're unconverted in this house, if you're not a Christian, if you've never, as it were, trusted in Christ and cast your all upon Him and made Him Lord and Savior of your life, this would be a good prayer for you to pray. Seek me out tonight, sinner. Seek me out tonight, Lord. Seek me out in my sin, because I'm like a sheep who's gone astray. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 25, the Apostle Peter, he said this, for ye were as sheep going astray. That's our natural condition. That's what we were. That's what he's saying to the saints as he's writing in his little epistle. 1 Peter 2, verse 25. Ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your soul. Thank God for the great shepherd that seeks the one who goes astray. Mr. Albert Barnes, when he was writing concerning these words at the head of our verse, our text tonight, all we like sheep have gone astray, he said this, nothing could more strikingly represent the condition of human beings. They have wandered from God. They were following their own paths. They were pursuing their own pleasures. They were without a protector and they were exposed on every hand to danger. And that's the condition of every sinner in this meeting house tonight. You've gone astray. You've been seeking your own pleasures. You've been going your own path. And tonight you've got no protector. You're left exposed to danger on every hand. Oh, that you would see your peril. That you would see your condition. And so I address you, you who are yet in your sin, you who know not yet Jesus Christ, you who are at a distance from God, I ask this question, I poise it to you, I put it to you, how far from God does tonight find you? How far from God does tonight find you? To what depths has sin taken you? To what place of estrangement has sin driven you to? Is it not true that there are years, maybe even decades for individuals here tonight, decades of sinning that has caused you to wander from your mother's God? How much further are you intending to stray from God? Will tonight see you crossing the boundary between God's mercy and God's wrath? There is a line by us unseen. It crosses every path. It is the mercy, the boundary between God's mercy and God's wrath. Will tonight find you straying over that boundary, that line unseen by the preacher, but will you cross that line beyond which there is no mercy? Beyond which there is no salvation. You may live for years to come, but yet tonight may seal your eternal destiny. O sinner, that you would waken up, that you would be alerted to this very fact. I cry and I pray to God that you'll turn your wandering feet. I implore you to turn those wandering feet of yours in the direction of Calvary's cross. without any more hesitation, without any additional delays on your part, sinner, you need to get to the place where God's justice and where God's grace embrace. You need to get to the old rugged cross. You need to get to Christ tonight. You need to get to His sin-cleansing blood tonight. Sinner, get to Christ. Get to Christ. Just like sheep. Sheep that are unable to find their way back to the place of safety. Is it not the case that in our lost condition we are unable to find our way to God? Sinful man of his own accord never seeks after God, and even if he tries, he never is able to find him. Never able to come into contact with him. All of sinful mankind's attempts to find God result in them actually going further and further and further away from God. Maybe you've been trying to find God in recent days, but it seems to be that instead of getting any nearer to Him, it seems to be that you're drifting further and further and further away from Him. I want to encourage you tonight. I want to encourage you with this truth that your search for Him, it will end when you come in repentance and faith to Jesus Christ. You see, sinner tonight finds you having gone astray. Every sinful thought that you have thought has been a thought that has caused you to wander and to go astray. Every corrupt desire has taken you further from God. Every idle word, every act of negligence, every transgression of God's law has been a wandering away from God, and tonight finds you lost. Lost. Lost in your sin. You've strayed. You've strayed from God's law. You've strayed from God's standards. You've strayed from God's statutes. You've strayed from God's commandments, laws and statutes and commandments that the Bible says are not grievous. But if they had been obeyed by you, I tell you, they would have saved you from much heartache. They would have saved you from many tears. And they would have saved you from multiple regrets that accompanied a life of sin. If only you had have obeyed God's word. But you have gone astray. Backslider, you have gone astray. You have gone astray. I wonder who among us could tonight, who could number our own wanderings from God? Who among us could tell how many times we have offended the God of heaven by our strain? The psalmist was right to pose the question. Psalm 19 verse 12. Who can understand his errors? Who can understand them? Sin. Sin is an error. The word here in the original, Psalm 19 verse 12. In the original it means it's a wandering out of the way. It can be translated going astray. Who can understand his goings astray? Think of it. Think about going astray from the God of heaven. This God who in love and benevolence towards fallen sinful man gave his own dear son to die on a cross 2,000 years ago, to lay down his life and to endure the agony and the sufferings and the pain of an eternal hell in 3 short hours. And yet despite it all, we have gone astray. How incredible, how incredulous that we have gone astray from such love, from such mercy, from such kindness, from such grace, and yet you've gone astray, and you never blush. And you never feel ashamed. you've gone astray. The prophet Isaiah declares in our text, all we like sheep have gone astray. The inspired writer, he includes himself in that confession. He does not say, all ye like sheep have gone astray. He does not say, all sinners in the world like sheep have gone astray. Rather, he says, all we like sheep have gone astray. Because this is a man who, after an honest appraisal of his life, before he came in contact with the God of heaven and before he came to know God, he arrived at this conclusion, like that he, like the entire rest of humanity, had went astray from God. Without exception. I say, without exception, the inspired penman says, the entire human race has gone astray. All we like sheep have gone astray. How uncomfortable that little word all is for the self-righteous, proud, religious sinner. Because it is a word that takes you in. All we like sheep. No such a person, they would point to the drunkard and they would say, they have gone astray. They would point at the prostitute and they would say, she has gone astray. They would point at the drug addict and say, they have gone astray. They would look at the child molester and say, he has gone astray. They would look at the wife abuser and say, he has gone astray. Or the murderer, or the blasphemer, or the immoralist, or the thief. And they would say, they have gone astray, but not me, preacher. Ah, but this word all, it takes you in. All we like sheep have gone astray. There is no wiggle room and there is no wriggle room in that word all. All, the word means the entire whole. The word means without exception, all have gone astray. Yes, the most pious of men. Yes, the most religious of women. Yes, the most virtuous young person. Even they are born having gone astray from God's standards and from God's glory, and sinner, you, I and this preacher, there was a time in my life that I went astray. I was born having gone astray. Thank God it took the great shepherd to find me in my lost condition. It was Alexander McLaren who said, we shall never know what we need or be able to understand what Christianity offers to do for us unless our eyes are opened and our consciences are made sensitive to the unwelcome but the undeniable truth that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You'll never understand your need. You'll never be able to comprehend what Christianity can do for you until you admit and come face to face with the unwelcome and the undeniable truth that all have sinned, and that means you. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And until you get there, salvation will be an absent commodity from your life. Think of all the numerous things that differentiates you or makes you different from the person either sitting in front of you, behind you, beside you, in this preaching house tonight. All the things that make you different from that individual. They were most likely born in a different year than you, the person in front of you, the person behind you. They were most likely born to different parents than you, in a different hospital than you, reared in a different home than you. Most likely they went to a different school than you. They had different interests and they socialized with different friends than you. You have different talents from them. You have different goals to them. You have different academic abilities than them. You have maybe even a different job than them. And so there are numerous, multiple things that make you and I different from one another. And yet I want you to see that beyond these superficial differences, there is something that we all have in common. And that is we're all sinners. Sinners. And we have all gone astray. You see, the gospel is a great leveler. The rich and the poor, we're told in the book of Psalms, they meet together. Where do they meet? I tell you, one place they meet in the dust at the foot of the cross. The rich and the poor. Because the cross is a great leveler. And I tell you, the gospel of Jesus Christ does not boost and boast a man's ego about himself or a woman's opinion about herself. It strips it all away. And it comes down to this common denominator. We all are sinners. We all have gone astray. And we all need Jesus Christ. That's a great common denominator. The second point we've thought about, the universal confession. That the entire human race has gone astray, but we come to a second point. These points will not be as long, the personal admission. The inspired writer goes on within our text to say, we have turned every one to his own way. I believe that statement, it brings the matter home. The matter at hand, it brings it home to our own lives. It really brings it from the general, and it now brings it to the specific. Yes, the entire human race has gone astray. All you have to do is buy a newspaper tomorrow, if God will it. All you have to do is turn on the news headlines tomorrow, if God will it. And you'll soon realize that the world has gone astray. Has abandoned God and morality and all that is true and righteous and godly. The world has gone astray. We understand that. It is a universal confession. All we like sheep have gone astray. But let's bring the matter home. Let's bring it to the personal level. Because the text tells us that we have turned everyone to his own way. You see, I believe that there's emphasis. There is a double emphasis here within the text. Because just in case the sinner tries to wiggle his or her way out of the first all, the inspired penman, he puts in the words, everyone. Everyone. We have turned everyone to his own way. The Spirit of God is driving home the truth that everyone, without exception, has turned from God's way and went their own way. Now for some in this meeting house, going your own way, it has led you previously in years gone past, it has led you down a road of vice. It has led you down a road of wickedness. For others, your way has caused you to traverse the road of respectability and morality. For others, your own way has taken you to embrace such things as atheism, agnosticism. For others, it has brought you to a life of profanity and sinful indulgence. As Thomas Manton remarked, though there be one path to heaven, he said, yet there are several ways of sinning and going to hell. And yet, with all the various paths of sin, there is one thing which is common to every path, namely, that a sinner sets up their will against God's will. A sinner sets their will against God's will. Everyone has gone his own way. And so the sinner enthrones self upon the throne of the heart. And with respect to Jesus Christ, they say these words, I will not have this man to rule over me. It really comes down to this in the matter of salvation. It's a simple choice that you'll have to make tonight. Is it going to be my will, or is it going to be God's will? Is it going to be my way, or is it going to be God's way? Now, God's way is the way of holiness. God's way is the way of the Bible. God's way is the way of righteousness. God's way is the way of truth, the way of integrity. God's way is the way of Lord's Day observance. God's way is the way of purity. God's way is the way of self-denial. God's way is the way of the prayer meeting and the way of prayer. God's way is the way of uprightness, the way of morality, the way of humility, the way of godliness, and the way of Christ-likeness. In other words, God's way is the complete opposite of the sinner's way. The complete opposite. So you need to make the choice. God's way or my way. But before you settle in your mind that you're going to go your own way, let me remind you of the end of that way. Because the Bible tells us in Proverbs 14 in the verse 12 that there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Also in Matthew 7 in the verse 13, wide is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. That is the end of your way. Death, eternal death, and eternal destruction. And so which way are you going to go tonight? Sinner, if you are to avoid eternal death and everlasting destruction being the end of your way, then you need to act upon the advice that the prophet Isaiah is going to give in two chapters from this chapter in Isaiah 55 in the verse 7, because you need to forsake your way. Let the wicked, the sinner, let the wicked, the sinner, forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. You need to forsake your way. Will you do that tonight? Will you forsake your way? And from this night, will you walk in God's way? Listen to these words that we find in Ezekiel 33 in the verse 11. They are the words of God himself. He said, "As I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked," and then underline these words in your mind, "that the wicked turn from his way and live." And then God himself, he comes and he appeals to those people in Ezekiel's day. He says these words, turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die? Why will ye die? May tonight be the night of your turning, your repenting from your evil ways. We thought about man's problem in our initial 2 points, the universal confession, that personal admission, but I want to end with the divine solution to man's problem, the divine solution. God has provided a solution for the sin problem of man. That solution is spoken of in the words at the end of our text, "And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." Of whom is the prophet Isaiah speaking of when he says that Jehovah, he lays on him? Who is this him of whom he is speaking of, upon whom the iniquity of man is laid upon? Who is this him? Well, that answer we come We see that question to be answered 600 years from this moment of time. We make our way into the desert. We find an evangelist by the name of Philip. He's preaching, he's speaking to an Ethiopian eunuch. And as he does, so we read in there in Acts 8 in the verse 35, that Philip takes the scroll that this Ethiopian eunuch had purchased in Jerusalem, and what he was reading was Isaiah 53, and we read that from that very chapter, Philip preached unto him Jesus. And so we can be in absolutely no doubt that the hymn of Isaiah 53 is Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ. He laid on him the iniquity of us all. There is another rendering to those words that we find in our text. He hath laid, the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And this is how it's translated. Jehovah hath made to meet on him the iniquity of us all. The thought behind that word meet is that of a sun's rays passing through a magnifying glass and meeting on a single point. I'm sure you've seen it maybe in the past, how to create fire, getting a magnifying glass, catching the sun's rays, and that glass takes the rays and focuses on one single point, and as it's held over that hay, that dry material, it eventually catches fire. It is caused to meet upon a single focal point. And that's what happened at Calvary. God the Father found in God the Son the meeting place, the focal point, where divine wrath would converge for the payment of my sin. There in the darkness, and in the gloom of Golgotha, the blessed Son of God became sin for us. He bore our sin. And its eternal punishment, he paid the price. Think of it, sinner. Divine wrath for sin converged and was concentrated on the blessed and sacred body of the Lord Jesus Christ. In order to free you from your sin and to deliver you from hell, he was the meeting place where divine wrath met in its full concentration. He became the bearer of sin. It was laid upon him like a burden. That's the idea in the word laid on him. A burden was placed upon him. And oh, what a load. Oh, what a burden. Oh, what a weight was laid upon the blessed Son of God. Nothing but infinite love could carry such a load. But carry it he did. And he did it for you. Thank God Jesus Christ took to himself the responsibility of carrying our sins. And sinner, if you would only but trust in him, that sin burden, that great sin burden on your mind and conscience tonight can be replaced by the peace of God. Christ will take the burden. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. And then thank God you'll be able to say by faith tonight, I laid my sins on Jesus, the spotless Lamb of God. He bore them all and he freed me from the accursed load. I brought my guilt to Jesus. I washed my crimson stains white in his blood most precious. Thank God not one stain remains. What is God's solution to man's problem? the substitutionary work of Jesus Christ. That's the solution. Calvary is the answer to sin's man's sin problem. The renowned American evangelist D.L. Moody was leaning out of a train window. He was saying farewell to some friends that he had got to know at a crusade there in the United States of America. A man who had been at the gospel crusade and had come under conviction of sin but had yet not trusted Christ came running down the platform as the train conductor was blowing his whistle and waving his flag. As the train began to pull away from the station, the man came running up to the window that was open. Mr. Moody, hanging outside that window, as it were, looking out of the window. And he ran up to Mr. Moody and he said, "Mr. Moody, how can I be saved?" Moody, quickly knowing that soon the train will have left the platform, he thought very quickly what he could say in that brief moment of time as the man ran harder and harder to keep up with that parting train. Moody then called out to the man, "Isaiah 53 verse 6, go in at the first all and come out at the second all." And with that he was gone. The man, he went home that day. He found his Bible. And he opened it up at Isaiah 53 in the verse 6. "All we like sheep have gone astray," he read. And he accepted that. He reviewed his life. He surveyed where he was presently before God. And he knew that he himself was included in that all. He said, "I have went astray. That's me." And so he quickly went to the end of the verse. And he read these words, "And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." And he believed that. He realized that his sins had been laid on Jesus Christ, the great sin bearer, and as a consequence of him believing that he had gone astray and that Christ was the great sin bearer, that man was gloriously saved. Isaiah 53 verse 6, "Go in at the first all and come out at the second all." Sinner, that's what you need to do tonight. By faith. Go in at the first all and say, "Dear God, I know I have gone astray. I know I have went my own way. That's me. But thank God the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And that means me too, because I'm in that all. He's laid on my Savior my sins, and by faith enter into God's salvation." I pray you'll do that. Just where you sit, that you'll enter in and be saved. May God save you. And may God find you the one who has went astray. Let's bow our heads in prayer. We'll not prolong the meeting, but we do give the invitation at the end of every gospel service that if you do want to speak to us and we can help you in any way, well then, speak to me at the door. Just say, "I need to speak to you, preacher. I've gone astray. I've went my own way. And where has it taken me? But further and further away from God." Sinner, make your need known. And we'll be delighted to come into this house again, take the word of God and show you how you can be saved, and to know that all is well with your soul. Will you do that tonight? You do that tonight. You may stray further from God's grace. And it may be then that it will be years before he speaks again, if he speaks. And so while he is near, call upon him. Seek him while he may be found. Our Father and our God, we come before thee. And we thank thee for this great text that we've been considering. Oh, it shows us our plight. But thank God it also shows us God's provision. We thank thee for the great sacrifice, the great meeting place. Oh God, we thank thee for Calvary. Oh, may sinners come to the cross, be saved. And now part us with thy blessing. And for those that await the Saviour's coming, may we live, O God, in light of that day when Christ shall appear and all sin be purged away and forever will be with the Lord. And for those who know not Christ and have not that assurance with respect to the coming of Christ or the call into eternity, where they will be, O God, bring them to Christ and change their destinies. For we offer these our petitions in Jesus' all precious name. Amen and amen. Thank you.